Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Support local and get everything you need this Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme tonight here on Highland. Coming up on the show, Gaelic Games Wise will be hearing from Donegal boss Declan Bonner ahead of their long trip to Kerry this coming weekend in the final match of the Division 1 in the National Football League. Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News will be joining us to talk about the games involving both Derry and Tyrone. Tyrone, of course, in Division 1 have been sucked into a relegation fight. Soccer-wise, Finn Harps returned to the pitch for the first time in 20 days on Saturday. They're in Dublin against Bohemians. We'll hear from the Harps boss, Ollie Horgan, whether the break was a good or a bad thing. While in tennis, just like the golf, tennis has been halted under level 5 restrictions. We'll get the reaction from Jerry Clark of Letterkenny Tennis Club to that decision. But first up tonight on the Score, we're going to start with Gaelic Games and hurling. The Donegal Hurlers will start their championship on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny when they host Longford in the first round of the Nicky Rackard Cup. Donegal beat their opponents earlier in the year in the league and will be favourites to come through the tie. The likes of Davin Flynn and Kieran Matheson are back on board at county level for the championship, but Danny Cullen is a doubt this weekend with a knee injury. Donegal boss Mickey McCann has been telling Tom Comack that the squad are itching to get back on the pitch.
Well, Mickey, it's good to be back, no doubt. But I know when the first lockdown came back in March, you were just after winning the league, and I know there was great enthusiasm with you and the squad for the Nicky Rackard after a good league run. Is that enthusiasm still there?
I suppose it is, Tom. I suppose back in March, the Backroom team met the Tuesday night after we got promoted, you know, and won the league, and we're just putting our plans towards the championship and give the boys a week off. So little do we know what it's going to be 7 months down the line before we get together again. We're just happy looking back to get that league finished up. You know, it was only league finished and to get promoted. But look, we haven't done much, Tom, with five or six clubs put into the county team together, you know, and four of them still involved. On the 4th of October, we didn't get back training until then, but as enthusiasm goes, the boys are well keen and mad to get playing again, you know, and they're looking forward to getting back at it now on Saturday.
Yeah, and of course, Longford, your opponents, you have played them already this year, beat them down in Longford?
Yes, I suppose it was a big game for us, Tom. They were looking for a league final spot too the day we travelled down. If they beat us, they'd have been in the final, and look, it was an up and tuck. I think we missed a lot of chances, but we came out with a 6-point victory in the end, but They're definitely improved, and they'll give us a lot of thought, you know, and it'll be a tough enough game, but at home we'd be expecting to come out on the right side of the result on Saturday, Tom.
Yeah, and I know they always have that one or two or maybe three or four players from down the country, and they use the grandfather rule pretty well down there as well, I think.
Yes, I suppose they had four or five on, Tom, when we played them, like the two Galway lads, a Dublin boy, you know, and they're brave and handy, you know, and they're definitely going to take some watching again, you know. So, but in saying that, I think we're in a good place at the minute too. We picked up a couple of injuries now in the last week or two, but as the panel goes, we've got a wee bit stronger maybe since the league. We've added Kieran Masters back from Australia, Tom, and Davin Flynn back on board again, and Kevin Keeley, who's hurling well in the club championship. So, we're in a good place, Tom. I think, you know, we're in the right way of working for and ready for Longford on Saturday.
Yeah, obviously you're like all team managers in all levels. I know, speaking to Declan Bonner last week, and you know, speaking to Paul Devlin with the Tyrone under 21s, they were training and everything, but they didn't really know where they were at. They felt they were in a good place, but they didn't know and wouldn't know until they got playing.
Exactly, you know, and that's when the real test will come. 20-25 minutes on Saturday, Tom, you'll know where these boys are at. But we're really happy the way the boys come back from the club scene, that they're in decent enough shape, and we had a tough week physically last week, you know, and we just test them out to see, but happy enough that the shape they're in, Tom. We're just unfortunate that Danny got a knock on the knee at training.
That's Danny Cullen, yeah.
Waiting the results of a scan, Tom, and probably won't feature this week. And Davin Flynn has a hamstring problem. just from training on Saturday, Patrick Doherty's probably out. But with good strength and depth there now, that's probably something we haven't got in years, you know, and there's a good panel there and the boys coming in. We're still a strong 15 starting, you know.
And probably in better shape for the Nicky record than you have been in years, because, as you said, the bulk of your squad were involved either in the junior or the senior championship, so that they've done quite a bit of hurling in the last couple of months.
They have, Tom, and I suppose just a couple of teams went out early. We were just monitoring them boys that they kept over and keep their fitness up to a certain level, you know, and we were just hoping the clubs turn in that the boys would come back sharp enough, and they have, Tom, and we've a couple of boys from Dunlow and Cairn, Chucky from Cairn, and then Santa Munoz in the final. There was a lot, maybe 12, 13 players involved that day, you know, so we're happy enough the way they came back, and the boys that went out of the competition early have kept taking over in good shape too.
Yeah, and you're in a group along with Longford Armagh and Leitrim, and then on the other side you have Mayo, Tyrone and Monaghan. Warwickshire were to be in that group as well, but obviously due to the COVID travel restrictions, they're not travelling and not playing.
No, Tom, that's changed now in the last week or so. What's happening, the four winners from this week play one hour in the second week again, so it's changed a bit. There's no groups as such. It's an open draw. After this week, the four winners will meet in round two, and the four losers meet, you know, and if you won your second week, if you do two matches in a row, you're straight into the semi-final, you know, so it's just Tyrone has a bye, we were serving out, so it makes it a wee bit more complicated. If you get Tyrone the second week and get beat by them, you're safe, but if you get Armagh or Mayo the second week, Tom, and happen to get beat, you're out of the competition. So it's changed a bit for us, but at least we've got two bites at it, you know.
Yeah, and the winners this weekend, and if you win next weekend, you go straight through to the semi, is it?
Yes, if you won this weekend, but the four winners play one another the following week, Tom, and it's a home away luck of the draw, just so look, you could have Mayo away next week or Armagh away, which would be a tough ask, and that'd be a complete knockout then. The only safe net is if you get Tyrone in the second week, because they'd have a bye, they're giving that side of the draw a second chance, you know. So, lucky, you can only, momentum's hard to beat, Tom, and we're just looking to win and just go straight to the semi-final with two victories, whoever gets in a row, you know.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say Mayo probably would be the fancy side, they're up at the higher level?
I suppose there were two divisions above us this year, Tom, you know, and they've stayed in that division for the second year. Look, so 2A is a level Donegal's never been at, and Tyrone or Mayo stayed at it for a year or two now, so definitely they'll be hot favourites, but we can only get our own house in order and get our own up to speed, you know, and hopefully that's enough, but Mayo definitely favourites the competitions. But in saying that, Tom, they were in it last year and they get beat so by lower tier teams like Sligo and Tyrone, so they're definitely on a championship any given day, you know, anything can happen.
So all in all, looking forward to getting back into action.
Yes, Tom, it was great to be out again, and it's great to have games to go and play, you know, and even to watch again, so it's great I've got to go ahead again, so hopefully everything runs smoothly now. It's just a bit more complicated and a lot of work, and players, if they really love a low profile, you know, it's just training and playing matches really for them and their work, so hopefully we can go through it, Tom, now without any hassle with virus or whatever, you know, and see it out now. Our competitions go straight through the mid-November, so hopefully 4 or 5 weeks we can go problem-free, you know.
That's Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann speaking to Tom Comack. That Nicky Rackard Cup fixture against Longford on Saturday has a 1 o'clock start time at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Elsewhere on the hurling front, Derry are also involved in championship. They play their Christy Ring Cup opener against Sligo on Sunday, and Derry playing at home, and that one throws in Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Let's move to the football front. Donegal players and management are making the long trip to the Kingdom tomorrow, Friday, for their final Division 1 league game of the season on Saturday when they take on Kerry. With intercounty football continuing, but under restrictions, they will travel in their own cars and will not be sharing rooms in the hotel. If you're one of the Gidor contingent in the panel, you'll be facing a 900-plus-kilometre round trip to Tralee in the coming days. Donegal, of course, secured their status in Division 1 for next season by beating Tyrone last week and still stand an outside chance of becoming League Winners this year, but they need to beat Kerry and hope the likes of Dublin and Galway draw on Sunday. With the Championship coming up, there will be changes in the Donegal lineup for the tie at Austin Stack Park. This week, I've been looking ahead to that game with Donegal County boss Declan Bonner. So Declan, we're looking into a trip against Kerry this coming weekend. I suppose first up, given the announcement this week, everybody's going to level 5. Inter-county senior football is safe. I'm sure you're pleased that the games are going to continue. Was there a bit of a worry in the back of your mind over the last couple of days?
Yeah, listen, Oisin, it's, you know, it's always there in the back of your mind, you know, well, the champions. But I was always positive that, you know, that... it would continue, and yeah, it's great to be looking forward. You know, it's great to get the match last Sunday against Tyrone, and yeah, looking forward now to the trip to Kerry. And you know, at the back of our minds is the Championship match in just over a week's time, you know.
Yep. Tell us then, how difficult is it? We did hear from the chairman, Mick McGrath, a couple of weeks ago saying that it's a logistical nightmare to organise a trip for Kerry. But now you're focused in on that game. You've got Tyrone put to bed. How difficult was it come Sunday evening, Monday morning, to go, right, let's try and get this thing organised?
Yeah, listen, I just kind of sent out what we require, and then it's up to the logistics team. That's under Paddy McDyer. He's the logistics manager, and he works with Mick McGrath on finalising those plans. And you know, it's not easy. It's always kind of difficult, especially away trips. But we're kind of pretty used to it over the last couple of years. But this is different circumstances, and you know, a lot of stuff has to be done and checked. But I think we're happy enough now that everything's in place.
Kerry made the trip to Monaghan last week. But you have got a longer trip. You have got the longest trip probably of the whole year to make under the current restrictions that it's there. So everybody's going down on their own bat, Declan, isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's a long journey. I mean, if you take it even to get out of Donegal for the guys in the Guidoor, Dunfanaghy and his own regions, it's a long, you're driving over an hour to get even out of Donegal, and it's probably another 4.5-5 hours to get down to Tralee. But listen, it is what it is. You know, it's great that we're back playing competitive football again, and as I said, you know, yesterday somewhere, that we're in a privileged position to be representing Donegal, and every time we get that opportunity, we want to do our best, especially in these circumstances. No people, there's nobody getting to matches. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there, Oisin, and it's great that people can tune into the radio station or TV and watch and listen to what's going on. And you know, that's we definitely feel in a privileged position.
Yeah. The fact that you're out of the relegation fight now and you can't go down and you're safe in the top flight, Declan, does that ease the pressure then this week? Is there a weight of the shoulders maybe?
Yeah, it does. There's no doubt. Yeah, we were. It was important that we beat Tyrone last week. You know, we had to consolidate our position in Division 1 for next season. That's where you want to be. That's where the top teams are. And it's important that we stay in Division 1. So, yeah, it does. There's no doubt about that there. And it'll also give us an opportunity to look at lads that, you know, are... that need game time, because we know we're going to face a very, very tough task against Tyrone when they come back up on Sunday week in the Championship.
Yeah, and just then on the line of safety, and the pressure's off, is the starting 15 this weekend going to differ much from that which lined out in Balbuffet last Sunday, Declan? Will there be many changes?
There'll be a couple of changes, Oisin, yeah. You can take it that there will be a few changes. There's been a few knocks and bruises coming out of the match at the weekend, and we're not going to risk anyone. But at the same time, we're going down there to be competitive. We're going down there looking for a result. We know it's going to be a tough, tough ask, because Kerry are going for a Division 1 title also. So, you know, it should be a good game of football. Kerry's always difficult to beat. There's no doubt about that there. We had some very good games with them in the last couple of years. Even I think Super 8 was the last time we met, and that was a high scoring affair. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And as I say, there will be a number of changes, but... again, as I say, we're going down there, and we're hoping to be competitive and hoping to get a big performance.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not going to tell us what those changes at this stage in the week, Declan, are going to be, but obviously there's players that have knocks. How fearful are you that those players don't recover from those knocks, and there's the added possibility, of course, that you could have further knocks going into the Tyrone game? So, listen, you were worrying through the club championship, but there's a different worry now since they're under your watch. So there.
Well, listen, it's always a worry anyway, Oisin. No matter, even when you step out on the training pitch during the week, there's a worry. But you just can't. You have to get on with it, and you know, the sessions of training are competitive. You know, so we're no matter if you're on the training pitch or playing matches, there's always that risk, and you have the added risk now of the COVID. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes on there that, you know, as I said last week, you could have a team ready to go and all of a sudden there's one or two changes coming into the weekend. But listen, it is what it is. As I say, we take it day on day. But again, as I said, we're just grateful that we're playing competitive football again. And again, as I said, really looking forward to the match.
Will Michael Langan and Patrick Bertie, will they need game time at the weekend ahead of what's to come the following week, or will you risk them?
Well, we have another training session to go, Oisin, so we'll monitor that after that there. But the chances of both of them playing will be slim. Possibly one of them may be ready. So we'll just monitor tomorrow night.
Yeah, Conor O'Donnell was a guy that featured a lot in the early part of the year. Could he feature at the weekend? He didn't show last week. Cam and Ethan O'Donnell actually weren't involved.
Yeah, but both had picked up knocks just coming when they came back out of the club scene, and Conor just been unfortunate. A couple of small niggles, and it's probably going to rule him out this weekend again. And Ethan Donald will be part of the traveling group. Yeah,
right. Okay. And I suppose the fact, Declan, that they're not getting that much game time now, does that hinder their chances of getting an opportunity in that championship opener against Tyrone? Because there's nothing like match sharpness and match practice, and it's been very, very limited here, so it has this year.
Yeah, exactly, Oisin, and that's it. I mean, that's, you know, and when you do get in there and you get your jersey, I mean, that you have that opportunity to keep it. And, you know, we are, and the one thing that probably we've looked at since, you know, this group of management team came in over almost 3 years now, we put great emphasis on what happens on the training ground. And, you know, we see players performing and playing at a level on that training ground that they get their opportunity, and that's the way it's been. And it makes sure that those training sessions are always fairly competitive and played at a high level of intensity and quality. So, you know, the team that started against Tyrone last Sunday, will that be the team that'll start in the championship? Probably not. Yeah. There's always going to be a number of changes, and we see people moving up at different levels. So, yeah, listen, it's going to come fairly thick and fast, and the strength and depth of the squad will definitely be tested over the next couple of weeks.
Jack McKelvey had his first senior start, competitive senior start for Donegal at the weekend. Could we see you give a couple of other players their first start in the jersey, Declan?
You might, Oisin. You might. As I say, we're going down there, and we're quite happy. I think the squad we have at the minute is around 30 in that squad, and we trust each and every one of them. And so whatever team we put out, we believe that they'll do a job on right. Saturday.
You're not going to give me too much more. Just a note, Norm McFadden Ferry. How big a blow is he to you, Declan, because he was playing some super football at county level? We've seen what he could do with Gidor, of course, when they went on to win Ulster. He's a real dog of a player, so he is. But he's not going to be about.
Yeah, listen, there's no doubt about that there. He's going to be a loss, there's no doubt. He's, you know, nodding faces. Oran came in last season, and he had to wait his time. And you know, again, we looked at it, and I spoke earlier on about, you know, performing in training, and he was performing in training, and he got his first start in an Ulster final. Not very many players get that opportunity, and it was an Ulster final. But listen, we knew for a while that he was going to be in. I had planned without him for these matches and the championship, because he's on duty now in the Lebanon. He's heading away next month, and we wish him well there.
Looking at the situation with Longford and Leitrim, Declan, they decided to concede games, not fulfil their fixtures last week and this weekend. Did that ever cross your mind, Declan, that since there was nothing to come out of the game, as in relegation-wise, that you may concede the tie at the weekend?
Listen, I can't speak for the likes of Leitrim or Longford, but it's nothing that entered our mind, to be quite honest. I think, as I said, there's enough doom and gloom going on out there. I think, as I said, we're in a privileged position to be fit to go out and play competitive football and represent Donegal. And I'd be disappointed that those games didn't take place, because it does undermine the competition. And you know, the National League is the second most important competition that we have, so it's very, very important that, you know, it actually never entered our mind, to be quite honest. Yeah, is it satisfactory, or is it you know, that we have to go down? It's not really, because in terms of our preparation, but at the same time, we see it as an opportunity also for players really to get up to speed and put in a performance in there.
How much are you looking into that there's an outside chance here that Donegal could win what would be a second ever Division 1 league title? Because if you beat Kerry in Kerry and another result goes your way on Sunday, Declan, you have won the league. Are you looking into that at all?
Well, listen, we're going to go down and we're going to give it our best shot. We're going to go down, as I say, and the team we put out, we'll have full belief that team can go out and deliver a performance that can get that result. It's not going to be easy, we know that. Yeah. So, you know, when the fixtures come out at the very, very start, and you saw that the last match was down in Kerry. You knew that was always going to be a difficult match, and that hasn't changed. You know, to me, Kerry are up there in the top two or three teams, and it's going to be a really, really good test for us on Saturday. And as I say, no real good preparation for us as we look forward to the championship in 2 weeks' time. Yeah.
No more so than Declan, finally, just that we've seen it was a high-scoring game last week with Donegal and Tyrone. A lot of other games spread across the league have been high-scoring games as well. A lot of open football being played, even though maybe defensively at times we questioned that last week. We had a cracker of a game at Croke Park where it finished 120 apiece the last time you met Kerry. Can we see something similar like that again? Is that on the agenda for the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I think both teams like to go at it and play football. Yeah, they're, I mean, Kerry, and I watched them last week against Monaghan. They're definitely added an extra dimension in terms of their defensive system, and they're definitely more difficult to get scores against. And you know, at the end of the day, when you have players going forward like the likes of David Bourne, the likes of Sean O'Shea and Clifford, I mean, they have some outstanding players. Not going to be an easy task, and it'll be, as I say, a really testing afternoon, but it's one we're really looking forward to.
Okay. Listen, thanks for talking to us, Declan. The best luck in Kerry.
Thanks, Oisin.
Declan Bonner speaking to me earlier today. That game, of course, in Tralee on Saturday starts at 2 o'clock. We'll be starting our sport on Saturday at the earlier time of 20-2 to facilitate live commentary from that game. Kerry against Donegal. Commentary this week will be provided by Tim Moynihan and Ambrose O'Donovan of Radio Kerry, and we'll also be joined by our very own Martin McHugh for coverage of that game. Well, elsewhere, Tyrone are in action this weekend as well. They're looking to avoid the drop to Division 2. A win in Mayo will keep them up, while Derry, who can't get promotion due to Longford withdrawing from their game with Cork this week, will continue their preparations for the championship when they take on Offaly. I've been looking ahead to those games with Cathair O'Keehan, GA writer, with the Irish News. We might start with Tyrone, Cathair, because they are one of those sides that do have something to play for. Mickey Hart's men know that they have to win in Mayo to stand any chance of staying up. That defeat last week to Donegal wasn't ideal for them, and it's put them in a situation now where, with the championship to come 7 days later, that they need a result down in the west if they're going to stay up. How's Mickey Hart going to address this situation, Cathair, do you feel?
It's not an unusual position for Tyrone, to be fair. If you look back over the last probably 10 years, like, they've been in relegation battles and they've been relegated. They tend to just sort of float around that area of the National League. And I think they played Mayo in a last day game as well a couple of years ago, and Kevin McLaughlin got a late point and relegated them that day and kept Mayo up. And you know, obviously Mayo are coming on a high at the minute. Their big win over Galway, and you know, people raving about them and a lot of momentum, and Tyrone having been poor enough against Donegal, and you know, logic would sort of suggest that Mayo would win it, but you know, it doesn't work like that. And even this league, even though we're sort of after a long break, the league in the earlier part of the year was sort of consistent with other leagues where, you know, from 1 week to the next, you would not know what you're going to get. So would not surprise me in the slightest if Tyrone were to go down to Mayo and turn the game over and turn them over and win down there. So, like Tyrone will want to stay in Division 1, but they'll know from past experience that where they're at, and they're challenging for all their titles, and they're challenging for all Ireland's, it's not the end of the world for them, because they'll go down to Division 2 and they'll win it anyway. So it's not the end of the world.
Is it the end of the world for Mayo? Because if Tyrone beat them, Mayo would be more than likely relegated, given the fact that you would think Monaghan and home advantage against Meath that the Farnhamen would win.
Yep, I think it would be sore on Mayo, in that they're sort of trying to move towards a new team, if you like. You know, they're bleeding an awful lot of players over the last 2 and 3 years, and under James Horne now especially, and they're trying to freshen the thing up, and those boys could probably just do with Division 1 football. But then Mayo were the longest serving county in Division 1, like, it's a long, long time since they were out of it, and like, I have no doubt the same would apply to them. If they were to drop down, they'd come straight back up again next year. And it just, like, to be honest, there's probably 9 or 10 teams that are Division 1 sort of standard, and you tend to find that the team that it's a yo-yo thing where whoever goes down tends to come pretty much straight back up a lot of the time, and I don't think, to be honest, I don't think it is that massive of an impact on some of them.
Yeah. Just a note on Conor McKenna, you would expect him to start once again for Tyrone. He contributed very well to the Red Hands last week in Ballybuffet. A lot of excitement, of course, pre-match when we seen that his name was in the starting lineup at centre half forward. What did you make of McKenna's performance, Cahir?
There was a lot of excitement about it, all right. Funny, I watched the game back yesterday, and I thought, you know, Mickey Hart, obviously he's not long back, and you could probably see in his sort of what he was being asked to do. You know, he was being the left of player furthest up the pitch a lot of the time, and he wasn't maybe being asked to drop back as much, and he was being saved nearly a wee bit, conserved a wee bit by Tyrone not loading too much on him too soon, and then, you know, obviously in the last 15 or 20 minutes he went to full forward, and that was really sort of a catalyst for Tyrone turning back into the game. And the first penalty was very, very soft that they got in the first half, but they should have had another penalty when there was four in it. McKenna was fouled, he got a good point, he got the goal, he gave them a wee bit of a focal point, and to be honest, they looked a bit of a different team, and I'd be surprised if they don't go with him at full forward from the start this weekend.
Yeah. Just moving into Tralee, Kerry taking on Donegal. Donegal do stand an outside chance of winning the league, Cahir. That's how tight things are in the division. They need to beat Kerry, which is a big call, first of all, and then they need Dublin and Galway to draw. But Declan Bonner said there will be changes in the Donegal team. He's focusing on Tyrone, what's coming 8 days later. You would expect Kerry to wrap up the league, would you, on Saturday in Tralee?
You would think so. They're not too easy beat down there in Tralee especially. I watched their game against Monaghan on Saturday. I was very impressed with Kerry last weekend. Even though there wasn't a huge margin in the game, just the way that they played for the first day out, they were very, very well organised, very structured, and very, very good on the break. And will hurt teams with the calibre of forwards they have naturally. And if they can get their defensive set up right there, you know, but to be honest, I think most people would recognise them as Dublin's main challengers at this stage, and they looked like a team that is just motoring nicely. Probably, I thought they were the most impressive team nearly of the first weekend in the way that they played, and if Donegal are going to make changes, Paddy McBrearty still not back, and if they make other changes, it's very hard to see, and Donegal, as you say, don't really need to win that game. Now they're safe. They're an outside bet for a league, and they wouldn't be putting too many eggs in that basket, I don't think, and it's hard really to see Kerry not winning it.
Yeah. Just finally then, Kerry, we'll go into Division 3. Derry have been denied the opportunity to get promotion out of the division because Longford have decided to award the game to the divisional winners, Cork. Will Rory Gallagher be upset with that?
He's not too upset. I spoke to him earlier this week, and you know, he's a bit disappointed that the game's not been played. He felt that, you know, Longford, given that Cork probably rest players, Longford might have scalped Cork, but it still needed Louth, who are bottom of the table without a point, to beat Down, you know, and given the history of last year, Louth beating Down in a big shock on the last day and keeping Down out of Division 2, it seemed very, very unlikely anyway. So I think they're sort of circumspect in that they're not that annoyed about it because it was an outside chance as well, but they'll be looking to get a bit of momentum off the game in Offaly. Like, there's a couple of players due back again. Conor Glass is going to start, I think, and play as close to 70 minutes, if not the whole of it, as he can. So, you know, they're building for Armagh the following weekend, and to be honest, Derry need momentum and need wins. They've won since they reached the Ulster final in 2011 against Donegal. They've won the game in the Ulster Championship, so I think it's fair enough to say that focus is on Armagh for them too.
Yeah, and you of course are a Derry man, Cahir. Rory Gallagher told me ahead of the two final league games that he was excited about what the performances would be like from Derry. in the close of the league. Is there that same excitement being felt among the Derry supporters at the moment, with, given that all the changes and they've already got a game under their belt?
I think anybody I spoke to that had seen them against Longford was impressed. They seemed to play very well against Longford, or a bogey team for Derry going back a decade or so, and you know, we hit the sound and the sight of Longford nearly at this stage because they beat us so often. And I think Derry were very composed and controlled the game. And look, they're young, they're light, they've used the break to try and put a wee bit of physical muscle on and bulk up a wee bit, which is a big gap from Derry to the teams above them at the minute is physically. Talent wise, it's there, and they're young, and they've had school success, they've had Ulster minor success, they've been all Ireland final, all Ireland semi-finals, you know, so there's a run of players coming through in the core of Brendan Rodgers, Kieran McFaul, and those boys are still only 26, 27, barring Chrissy McCaig. So, you know, there's the potential over the next 2 or 3 years, certainly if it's harnessed right, and if it's done right, and the physical work keeps carrying on, there is a potential for Derry, definitely, to climb up the hill.
Ciarán O'Kane of the Irish News, thanks for joining us, and as always, enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisín.
Ciarán O'Kane looking at the games involving Tyrone and Derry. On to soccer, and the League of Ireland Premier Division action continues this weekend for the North West sides, and it could turn out to be an important weekend as well. First up, Derry City are taking on Shelburne tomorrow evening, Friday. That game is at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Shelburne are ahead of Derry in the table in 7th on 19 points alongside Sligo. Derry are 8th on 16, and they sit just 5 points ahead, 2nd from bottom, Finharp. So Derry know that they will need a result in that game if they're going to keep a bit of distance between themselves and Finharp. Now, should Finharp have a real good run of form towards the end of the season and Derry continue to slip up, well, it's going to make things very, very interesting indeed. As for Harps, they of course also are focusing in on Cork City. Harps a point above the bottom side as they go into the weekend's games. Cork will actually play before Finharps this weekend. They're taking on Sligo at the Showgrounds at 5 o'clock, while Harps are in Dublin to play Bohemians at 7:30. Harps, of course, do have a couple of games in hand as well. Harps have 4 league games remaining. The one against Bowes is away, but the 3 after that are all at home as Harps look to continue and strive to stay in the top flight of League of Ireland football. It has, of course, been 20 days since Harps have kicked the ball. That's due to the match with Shamrock Rovers being called off. I spoke to the Harps boss, Ollie Horgan, today, and I asked him, is that lengthy break a good thing or a bad thing for his side?
Look, only time will tell, but the fact that we're going halfway well, when 3 weeks ago, obviously, you know, if we got a result in Dundalk, we'd love to have played the following week. Look, the other side of it is, if we'd lost up there and got beaten heavily, you might have been delighted with the break. But no, we could download out the break at this stage. The fact now that we've got to play games in a tighter space of time, including 3 games in the coming week, it didn't go to our advantage, and there's no point in pretending anything different. But it certainly was out of our control, and look, we've got to get on with it and try and get results on the pitch, Oisín.
Yeah. How did you keep the guys focused over the last couple of weeks?
Well, we trained quite well. The difficulty was we picked up a few knocks at training, which, you know, well, you could have picked them up in a game as well. It's not ideal by any means. I mean, the difficulty was we had 5 games in 12 days at the start of August, and now we'd no game in 20. And while there was obviously unforeseen circumstances, and no one can predict that, I just felt the management of it, and the way that they have put the games now back into the schedule, could have been done better. But look, the powers to be make that decision, and we've got to go with it or not get it.
Listen, we could be hampered on about those that have done fixtures, Ollie, because we've been at that for most of the year, so we have.
Yeah.
But it's now a case of you have to play Bowes. You mentioned players with a few knocks. Can you tell us who they are or who's doubtful for the weekend?
I mean, with a number of them, we need to manage them as regards. They're not long-term, thankfully. But certainly they won't be fit to play Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, to put it out to you. And we've got to manage it and try and, you know, pick a team further in the week and indeed for the following weekend, and maybe give lads a little bit more recovery time before next Wednesday as opposed to Saturday, and indeed in between games. So, look, thankfully we've got a bigger squad than we've had in years, and that, please God, will only help us in the next week, Oisín.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since Harps won at Daly Mount Park. Ollie, we'll have to go back quite a few years. I don't think he's took a victory or since in your time as manager down there. Would that be right?
No, certainly not. I spoke to Paul Higgerty, and he had the same in his time as manager. And look, I don't know. I don't know when the last time we got a point or certainly got a win in Daly Mount. You know, on the other side of the was, I'm not sure when we got a point in Oriel Park either, and we happened to turn that around and got something out of it 3 weeks ago. But Bowes are going very well. They're second in the table for a reason. And we're going away from home to play a side that are in good form, had played in the last number of weeks and played last Friday in Dundalk. We haven't played in 3 weeks. But, look, I'm not making excuses, and we'll get over them excuses for Saturday night, and we need to try and get something because we basically can't depend on other results going our way without us having to pick up points.
The fact maybe that Bowes are assured of second in European football already, and there is a bit of a gap to the champions elect, if you want to call them, Shamrock Rovers. Can that benefit you on Saturday?
Not if you know the likes of Keith Long and Trevor Crawley, absolutely not. I mean, the other side of that is if they don't win on Friday, Shamrock Rovers win the league that night without playing. And I can guarantee you that's one thing the Bohemians won't want to happen. But knowing the two lads that look after the side, any side they pull out always go to try and win. And invariably against us they have. We've had a good record against them at home, albeit we lost back in August in a narrow game, in a poor game really in Ballybofey. They probably didn't have to come out of second gear to win that game, and did. They're a better side at home. We have struggled up there in recent years, although we scored 3 last year up there and still lost 5-3, to put it that way to you.
Yeah. Is getting out of the bottom two still a target at this stage of the season for you, Ollie?
I'd love to say, yeah, of course you'd love to talk about that and have a feel-good factor, but realistically, it's between us and Cork to see who goes on automatically and who goes into a playoff. And whoever does go into that playoff, as we know, and if it's us or if it's Cork, they'll have some handful in trying to get out of the playoff. But we need to get to that playoff position, and we can't just depend on other teams taking points off Cork. We need to get something in the next 4 games, and that starts on Saturday night, albeit a very difficult task for us.
Yeah, well, 3 of the last 4 games obviously are at home, starting with Pats the following Wednesday. Does it make Pats a bigger game then than this game at the weekend against Bowes for you?
We can't pick and choose. We've got 4 games left. Actually, we've 5 games, including the cup game at Shamrock Rovers. Like after Saturday night, we don't have an away game for the rest of the season, unless we happen to get through a quarter final against Shamrock Rovers at home. However, we can't pick and choose. If we've 18 games left, or you've a 36 game season, yeah, Oisín, you could look at Daly Mount and say, right, well, lads aren't ready here. We'll keep them for Wednesday, and we may do that also, but we're running out of games to try and get enough points to stay above Cork, and we can't write off any game, including a home game to Shamrock Rovers, you know, in the league. We've got to try and approach that to get something out of it too, and that's the way we go to Daly Mount. It may work, it may not, but yeah, we've got to take a cut off it.
Well, you could have 6 games as well, obviously, with the playoff to come too, Ollie.
Yeah.
Do you feel that now at this stage of the year that you have to hit your best form of the season, and will that be good enough?
There's a lot of this. I don't know. I don't think anyone has the answer for that. Certainly, we struggled in the restart in August. We eventually got into, I won't say a brilliant run of form, but a decent run of form. And then 3 weeks ago, we got a draw in Dundalk, and then it closes up shop again, you know, of conditions out of our control. But the other side of it is we've only lost 1 game in the last 7. And that sounds, well, that's a team in good form. But at the same time, we may have only won 1 game in that last 7, or maybe 2, to put it that way to you, to include the cup games. So look, we've got into some sort of run of form. Not brilliant by any means, but certainly not as poor as we were in August. However, it's a bit of a lottery what way it's going to restart on Saturday.
Okay, listen, Ollie, good to talk to you after a bit of a lengthy break, but listen, the best of luck in Dublin on Saturday.
Thanks, Oisín. Take care.
Harps boss, Ollie Horgan. Finally, we go to tennis. Just like golf clubs, tennis clubs will now be closed under Level 5 restrictions. After communications with Sport Ireland today, Tennis Ireland confirmed that all activity has to cease. It was originally thought that tennis outdoors would be allowed under public health guidelines, but that is not the case. Something which is very disappointing to the head of Letterkenny Tennis Club, Jerry Clark.
We thought last night that we were going to be open, and in fairness to Tennis Ireland, I think they were waiting on some sort of confirmation of guidelines that they had set out to the government regarding what they interpreted as the adherence to the guidelines, and they sent it out to the clubs last night because the clubs were dying to know whether or not they would be open or not and what the members wanted to know. So that's where it all sort of was last night. I also thought we would be open, but with restrictions. So it went out there into the media that we would be open and we would be available for playing in some sort of restriction. Then this morning I got a notification that all tennis clubs must close with immediate effect. And to be say that I was shocked is mildly, I was really surprised at that announcement. So yeah, that's where we're at this moment. We had to make notices and we put it up on the gate, and we will be sending it out to all the members that the club is closed.
Yeah. Now, other sports, Jerry, are allowed to have underage and kids train in certain pods and numbers within pods, but that's not available to you guys at Letterkenny.
Well, it would appear not, but you know, everything changes on an hourly basis at this stage with this the decision makers. It would appear that we are not allowed to have pods of 15, although I would have thought that that was allowed because our good friends in other sports, the GAA and the soccer and others, are allowed to have pods of 15. And our sport is a non-contact sport, and we have four courts, and with four on each one, although 15, if we had 15, there's plenty of spatial social distancing going on. And we adhere to all the guidelines that have been laid down to us so far. We were one of the first sports back open after the last lockdown. I think we've been seen to be doing a pretty good job on it, not praising ourselves because there's always something to improve on. But yeah, I think we've done pretty well. And to get this is a bit of a blow to us. We have over 100 kids a week coming to us. Are they not allowed to do tennis just like their brothers and sisters are doing the GA and the soccer, etc.?
Yeah. And we heard, of course, the Taoiseach mentioned mental health and outdoors and playing sport is a huge contributing factor to keeping your mind right, Jerry. So can you see maybe change on the horizon for this, given that that has such a strong argument?
Yeah, well, you know, what I would say is watch this space. I mean, everything has to be, you know, I can appreciate the blanket decision to close everything, but you know, you have to make allowances for certain things. For sure, our membership is up hugely with families and people who had nothing else that they could do during the lockdowns, and they came to tennis because tennis was something they could do as a family safely in a safe environment. And now they're all been told that they can't come. Even as a family, you can't come to the club and play with your kids without anybody else there. I mean, there's no reason, we've done it before, where we couldn't isolate families from the rest of the players at different times in the day. We were facilitating everybody, and at the moment, it's not. And I, for sure, mental health, not just for juniors, but also adults, are you know, it's a great space for them to get out and exercise for an hour or two, because I think everybody is struggling with all of the changes and just trying to get to terms with the new changes, you know.
And it's not just, that's just not a factor for tennis. It would also play in, of course, yeah, to the scenarios with golf, because it's outdoors and it is non-contact. And yes, maybe the government will revise these sorts of things. Just finally then, Jerry, you did mention that your numbers was up, your family numbers was up, and the result of that was you were doing improvements around the club up until this decision was made this morning.
That's right. We are in the process at the moment of putting in a fifth court and some mini courts, dedicated spaces for children. That's ongoing. We've been a long time trying to get that done, but the builders are on site at the moment, and we hope to have that finished before Christmas, done and dusted. But, you know, it's a bit weird making progress like that and then nobody in the place. So wait and see. I would like to think that sense will prevail and that we will be allotted and allowed for our juniors to be allowed come and enjoy the facilities, enjoy although with social distance, being with their friends, feeling good about themselves and doing the sport that they love.
There might be change on the way in relation to the restrictions, but I'm sure kids wouldn't mind playing tennis in the rain, would they?
No, the rain never stopped them. I had, by the way, before this all kicked off last night, was it last night? Yeah, last night. I had 10 women out in the rain last night. Well, there was one man, two men and a woman in an adults class. That all has to stop now. And they were out in the rain last night and enjoyed every minute of it.
Could you manage the snow, could you?
I have managed the snow before. I have cleared many a court of snow with a shovel. That's not beyond me to get classes played. Yeah.
Listen, Jerry, thanks for talking to us, and there may be change on the way.
Please God, I hope everybody stays safe. Thank you.
That's Jerry Clark of Letterkenny Tennis Club. And that's it from another Score programme for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any of the show, you can, of course, recap by going to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com just after 8 o'clock this evening. Next sport here in Highland is the Bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.